and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, baby, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Today's a big day here at Stephanie Miller International. I can answer my own phone calls finally.
Oh, my God.
After 4 months, I can see who's calling and answer the phone and hang up and stuff.
I wish you luck with that. You haven't done that in a while.
Listen, I'm not used to doing it myself.
Yeah.
I'm used to my husband, Hal Sparks, being here doing everything for me.
Well.
Hump Days with Hal.
Yay.
Hal Sparks is here all 3 hours. He will be video streaming at halsparks.com.
Steffi.
In, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Yes. He's in the L.A. Bureau with all the other man meat. I'm here. As usual, alone in New York. StephanieMiller.com is the website. It is a big week. Big week for healthcare. You're right. I got to do this myself now. I'm going to answer my own phone call. It's Congresswoman Donna Christensen from the Virgin Islands. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you doing?
I answered the phone properly. I'm so excited.
Great. And you're right. It's the busy, busy week up here.
Yes.
I'll say.
And a long one.
It could be the week that we've long talked about. What is happening? Tell us, take us inside the game.
As far as I know, we're still waiting for the Congressional Budget Office numbers, which is key to moving ahead on the bill. We pretty much know, I think, what we can put into the reconciliation package, and I think we've pretty much decided on how we plan, how the rule would be designed for us to vote on the reconciliation package and have the Senate bill just automatically pass when we vote on the reconciliation. So,
I don't think that's going to
happen until Friday or Saturday, though.
Friday's okay. I was going to say because I'm officially the kid in the back seat now, and I want specifics about whether we're there yet. So, you think when's the CBO numbers going to come back? Do you think?
I expect them today.
Okay.
I mean, they may be out, but I'm in the office. I haven't seen anything come across my email, or there's nothing in the morning.
Does it kind of crack you up that the Republicans keep saying it'll be war and they won't help you with anything if you go the reconciliation route? And we're like, and that would be different from now.
They weren't going to help us anyway.
Exactly.
And they've been at war with us anyway before we got to this point. So, you know, that's just an excuse to, you know, demagogue some more. No.
Oh, I know.
And so have we.
Right. It seems to me a remarkably immature way to govern a large country. But anyway, tell us, you know, because obviously for those of us on the outside, like getting into this real process thing, we're like, I got lost somewhere around the slaughter rule, or is that going to be used or not? And I know there's something Republicans have used time and time again and now are saying is unconstitutional. What's your take on it?
Sure that it's unconstitutional because if the Senate bill is deemed passed by the rule, then it's passed. Right. And I think the way that the Supreme Court looked at it, as long as it's passed, the exact bill is passed in both bodies, it's passed. And if the rule says it's passed, when we vote on reconciliation, we all, you know, those of us who will be voting will agree that we're going to vote on reconciliation, and the Senate bill will be passed along with it.
Right.
I think we meet the test, but you know, I'm a doctor, not a lawyer.
Right.
and not a vote counter. But what is the deal? I know I saw Bart Stupak yesterday said Pelosi only has 200 votes. There are others saying she will have the votes when there is
such a major step forward for the American people and for our country. Something that absolutely needs to be done. I understand the Catholic bishops have supported the bill as written in the Senate, I guess. And so that has reduced the number of people that were standing with Bart Stupak. Can I just say something,
Congresswoman? I absolutely read that. I was going to get to that in the show. If it's good enough for the Catholic Church, why isn't it good enough for Bart Stupak?
I don't know. And I think that in the final analysis with the Catholic bishops having voted that way, you know, having voted support or voiced their support for the bill, with the fact that I'm sure the bill is going to be paid for, that we're going to be able to demonstrate that we're going to bring down the deficit over the 10 years and then even more in the next, in the second 10 years, all of the objections to voting for this bill are being addressed. So I think in the final analysis, when we get to Friday, the votes ought to be there, because this is a very important piece of legislation that the people of this country really need.
Right. Well, Congresswoman, it's amazing to me, this new financial reform bill, which, you know, like health care, you'd think this would be something that all of us as Americans could agree we desperately need. And it just seems like the Republicans run the same play every time. It's not just obstructionism. It's, no, let's keep doing what we were doing. You know, health care is working just fine now. No, let's keep doing, because everything's fine with the financial systems. And you know what I mean? It's just, are you kidding me?
Please don't let the president have a victory.
Right.
Please don't let him put this country back on the right track.
Right. Right. Well, I think, you know, I mean, some of them get caught. I think it was Lamar Alexander got caught basically saying, yeah, they're just going to obstruct just to, you know, for political gain.
That is it. Because they know that if we do the financial reform, the health care reform, the education reform that is so desperately needed in this country, the Democrats will be in the majority and control the White House for many years to come, and it's just pure politics.
Right. Congresswoman Christensen, are you confident as we speak today that this is going to pass, that there's not going to be anything that untoward happened? Do you feel we have the votes in the House?
I feel that we may not have all of them today, mm-hmm. but I think that by the time we get to the end of the week that we'll have enough votes to pass it.
Okay. All right. I had to do that to you. All right.
It's okay.
I love the part of the interview where you said, I'm a doctor, damn it. All right. Congresswoman Christensen, thank you so much for your time, as always.
You're
we appreciate
welcome.
It.
Thanks for having me again.
All right. There she goes. Bye-bye. From the Virgin Islands. Ooh, I hung up on my own call, too. Check me out.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about them?
Shoot,
apples?
I forgot to ask her to get me a deal on a resort in St. John again. Oh, well. All right. I'll call Amy Winehouse.
Okay.
Al Sparks.
Yes.
Happy hump days, honey.
Hi. Thanks, darling. I'm very excited. Not just, I'm here with you, but we're going to have one night where we pass like ships in the night when you come back from vacation and I'm still staying in your house.
I know it. He called last night, mm-hmm. my ex-husband Hal did. Mm-hmm. I told the children that he has custody next week when I'm on vacation. Hal Sparks will be hosting the show, living in my apartment, taking care of my dogs, and wearing my lacy underthings on the air.
Well, that
on
last
the
thing is still true.
You're going to be wearing her lacy underthings on the air?
Well, I mean, it's radio. I mean, you can't really, you have to tell people, otherwise they won't.
Well, you're going to be bringing in your video equipment, right?
That's true. That's
okay.
true.
Theater of the mind, Chris.
But that's
don't
what
ruin
makes
it.
Them under things.
Don't ruin the magic.
Exactly.
We're putting that in people's mind next week.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're just, it's a dream. Just let
people
it be.
People will be driving around the country. That was funny. And he's wearing Stephanie's thong. See, you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It adds another layer.
Yeah, it does.
Uh-huh.
Hal Sparks,
yes.
You and Joanne Worley, my happy place.
Yes.
And you were right. Happy, clappy liberal that you are. It looks like we will have health care reform this week.
Yeah, this weekend it looks like. They might even mm-hmm. work through the weekend and make it happen. And quite frankly, this process will have played out, I think, not only to the benefit of the American people just because we're getting health care reform that hasn't been able to be put together for 70 years, but we're also going to get probably the best tool going into the election that we could possibly have, which is just this, Republican after Republican lying their butt off, you know, going against this thing just on principle that they would give up in a heartbeat. Principles they don't even have. Things mm-hmm. that, you know, fighting against things that they've already argued for, like, they don't listen to us, but your stuff's in the bill. But that's no reason for us to vote for it. You know, it's absurd. They've just extracted themselves from the political right. process, and now they're going to complain that they're not involved. It's the most absurd argument going right. into an election season, I
and
can
now
imagine.
And now they're going to fight the fixes, you know, the reconciliation fixes that they argued against.
Right, right.
You know, like getting out the, you know, the Cornhusker kickback. Now, just to obstruct... They're yeah. going to vote against the stuff that they've been bitching about for how many months?
Right. Even though that reconciliation, all that stuff, even the president's mm-hmm. suggestions, they didn't even give him credit for the fact that, you know, he took out those things.
Right.
Because they still want to run on something that doesn't exist. That's the amazing thing. It's like they're still fighting the Soviet Union in how they view, you know, the war on terror or our fights and mm-hmm. our foreign policy. They're still going like, we need a missile defense shield against Russia. You're like, yeah.
Did you see the
yesterday's war?
Rally yesterday.
Yeah.
Can I just say that that's the one thing Michelle Bachmann does not need is a bullhorn, because then she yeah. says stupid things even louder.
Right.
And you're like, oh, you know, it would've been better if we couldn't have heard that.
But that was less of a rally than more of a smattering, because there weren't yes. a whole lot of people there.
No.
Yes. How about Louie Gohmert? This is the respect for the sanctity of life crowd holding up the bill and calling it an abortion. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. yeah. Referring yeah. to it as an abortion.
I brought an abortion today to show you.
Great.
Isn't that?
That's
a little
that's
carrot top of the fringe right there.
Right. God save us from prop Republicans. You know, that's the funny thing. They wave it around going, this is 2,000 pages of whatever. It's going to be. And then they argue it's a sixth of the economy. Well, do you really want a sixth of the economy to run on a memo, like a deal memo?
Yeah.
Remember the original Republican suggestions for the financial reforms?
Right.
We went into the crash.
I think the boner brought them on a bourbon-soaked cocktail napkin.
Exactly.
I have a couple of things I thought of last night.
I put my tears wet there. And I can't.
Hal and I, as comedians, we recognize this, Hal. It's that thing that, you don't drink, but those of us that do, that you know, that you write down that you think are hilarious, and
yes.
then you find it the next morning, you know, in the bottom
it's
of the sun, you're like, what? I thought this was funny. Why?
I can't. I don't know.
Or you dreamt something funny, so you wake up and
yeah.
you write it down
so you're
the next
morning.
Half asleep. Yeah, and the next morning you look at it like, what?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
And you're like, what did I mean by camel Flarmare.
Flarmare. I know there's a joke in there somewhere, damn it.
That must have been brilliant at the time.
And you start bugging your other comic friends about it. What is Camel Flarmare? You were there. Camel Flarmare. What was
you
I saying?
You remember. I wrote it and you laughed. Remember?
Right. I have a video. All right.
One thing we know is brilliant is P90X. All Rise, Queen Segway is here.
Yeah, brilliant segue.
Yeah,
there.
That was terrific.
Hal Sparks, uh-huh. I venture to guess, will be doing P90X. Not only will he be me next week, he will be doing P90X in my apartment, because
yes.
Hal Sparks does P90X, and he assembled my chin-up bar for me. Yes.
Yeah.
Let me just give you a little warning, Hal. There's some moves, particularly in plyometrics, that make Fred, my youngest dog, very excited.
Oh,
good
boy.
Luck with that.
Oh, no.
That'll be a queer as folk scene. You're used to that. All right.
Unlike you, I would do them, you know, in the room downstairs, kind of separate from everything. I would
close the door.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. You
they'll
do them
claw
in the living,
it down.
Yeah, you do it in the living room so that,
no,
you know,
they'll claw it down. They do their own version of P90X next to me, I swear
right.
to God. They start wrestling and working out. And yeah. All right. P90X is the home workout that works. That's all I can tell you. It includes strength training, yoga, cardio. Every day is a different DVD, so you don't get bored. And more importantly, your muscles stay confused.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. P90X. Here's what I have for you. I have a 90-day radio-exclusive in-home trial. You can try it with Mama and Hal for the full 90 days. If you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. Call now, 800-509-9FIT. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go right to stephaniemiller.com. Click on the banner ad, won't you? 19 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. A Okay. Aggie in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Aggie.
Hi. How are you, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm reading a Consumer Reports from Mayo 9, and it's about health care. And the box says, want better coverage? Try running for Congress. And it lists the plan features and the covered service. Excuse me, covered services.
Right.
One of which is family planning. So, yeah. Okay, but, you know, whatever money I have, a nice thing to have or need to have, well, this is not a nice thing to have. I got to have, you know, these plans, no annual or lifetime limits for major services, things like that, deductible of $300 per person. You know, why do they get all this and they don't want us to have it?
Right.
Yeah, well, I think that's the question that people have asked over and over and over again, and I think, you know, it is time to for them to stand up and answer that this week, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yep.
And yesterday you were talking about the Constitution. If you don't have life, how can you pursue liberty and happiness?
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. If you can't get to the first one, you can't get to the second two. Exactly. I mean, I just, I guess my point, Aggie, was I've just never understood the whole for-profit thing. I was saying, you know, when your house is burning down, the fire department doesn't ask you if you're insured or if you have a copay or, you know, I mean, it's, and how is it any different when you're in, a dire medical emergency?
Right. I've always said it would, you know, it belongs in part of the common defense area of the Constitution, as opposed to, you know, general welfare, which everybody kind of runs from. But the idea that, you know, a guy with a gun, you know, is a threat, but so is cancer. And I have even less control over cancer than I do the guy with the gun. Arguably, I can take up arms of my own against a guy who seeks to harm me. But if you really look
at... To hurt you? Well, that's a different
thing. Yes, that's right. To harm me. but... you know, against, you know, a contagious disease like H1N1 or something like that, I really don't. I do need, you know, some governmental help, as it were. And insofar as the people who don't want you to have the program that they have, all those people are Republicans, because every single person who has suggested the American people deserve to have access to the same program that Congress has have all been Democrats.
Yep.
So I do, there are those people. They're just all Dems.
In fact, Chris, you may want to have 911 on hold because I'm about to make oatmeal here in New York.
Oh, no.
You know what happens
when
I...
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
You always kill a few small children when you do that.
Yeah, well, I think I've got the right container now. I've gotten enough suggestions from the listeners.
The aluminum bowl you finally got rid of. Good.
Oh, no. She's not putting an aluminum bowl in the microwave.
Oh, Al, he refers to the time I tried to cook a baked potato in the building in L.A. in a tin foil. And I didn't. I forgot that you can't in the microwave. Yeah, that's not good.
No,
that's
not at all.
It caught on fire.
Refer to that as Building 7.
wow, a 9/11 joke.
Hey, thanks.
Wow, well, Jim's here even.
I guess I know. I
tragedy plus time really does equal comedy.
Yeah, I try. well, there was nobody in that building. So, yeah.
that's the building that's safe for comedy.
It is, know. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And for oatmeal, apparently.
Yeah. All right. Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary on health care.
There's going to be a vote on health care reform this week.
Oh, dear.
You're
going to
know where people are on health care reform.
That's right. The big fear. That's what they're scared of more than anything else.
Which is why they're trying to do it through deeming.
It's tricks, according to the boners.
Well,
tricks.
Right.
Yeah.
Anybody who thinks they can sneak this bill through.
The way we did seven times.
All these other tricks. There's no way to hide from the biggest vote that most members of Congress will ever cast.
Yeah.
They're going to make balloon animals out of the health care bill. Woo, look out, Boner. It's a bunny rabbit.
Your lower intestines.
it's a trick. It's a trick.
Yeah.
I don't care what trick they try. It's not going to work. This is the biggest vote that most members will ever cast. You can't hide from it. And the American people will never accept some trickery, to try to make this bill become law.
A tricky kind of trickery.
Under the dark of night.
I think he's going to break into Martha and the Vandellas in a minute. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide.
Isn't this the third time they voted on this?
Right. We will talk to Representative Jan Schakowsky about all that next as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
In the first grade, my friend Rosie and I made a pact to marry Bert and Ernie. Then we found out we both wanted Ernie. We didn't speak again until middle school.
Oh, here's something funny. I was mentioning when Jim and I were doing our last dueling Mitch McConnell impressions.
Yes.
And now he sounds like either that thing where you would stick your upper lip to your top teeth.
Yes.
When you were in high school, because it's like that.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I mentioned that I did it with Mary Murphy, and guess who I got an email from yesterday? Mary Murphy.
Did she hear that? Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
From DeSales Catholic High School in Lockport. Yeah, she listens on WKBW in Buffalo.
Wow. That's awesome.
And she also remembered my story about driving around in my red Dodge Dart with no shocks in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Pontilla brothers listen?
Was that a euphemism for a bra?
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from...
She's not wearing shocks today, if you know what I mean. Hello. Uh-huh.
Listen, I have more important people to talk to, like Representative Jan Schakowsky, the rockin' congresswoman from the great state of Illinois. Good morning, Congresswoman!
Good morning, Stephanie.
Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Is it finally here, the week we've dreamed of,
that we've talked of? I am so excited and nervous, but this is it. This is it. I believe that the House is going to pass the health care bill. I'm convinced that the Senate is going to do the same, and we're actually going to make progress on health care for everyone in the United States of America.
Representative, I don't often do this, but I would like you to listen to a soundbite of yourself. Here is Representative Jan Schakowsky.
Okay.
Representative Jan Schakowsky.
Newsflash. People in the real world don't care about self-executing rules or reconciliation and don't even know what it is. What they do care about process is the process of the insurance companies, the process of refusing a child who has asthma, the process of raising prices 39%, 50%, 60% for your insurance policy.
Jan Schakowsky makes a good point, don't you think, Jan Schakowsky?
I think Jan Schakowsky is really right about that.
She's really smart.
We've succeeded in turning her into a pro athlete, talking about herself in the third person.
But, you know, I mean, it really is, you know, here we are down to it. You can tell they're panicking because, I mean, how do you spin something that you have used yourself zillions of times, more times than Democrats have ever used, and now suddenly it's just unprecedented?
You know, and we actually had a Tea Partier come to my office talking about the Slaughter solution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is so arcane. This is Louise Slaughter, who's chairman of the Rules Committee. And so my chief of staff said, well, you know, the same process was used 113 times with Dennis Hastert. Oh, no, it's never been used before. This is absolutely new. Why do you think they call it the Slaughter solution?
We don't. It could have been called the Dreyer solution since David Dreyer used it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, we don't call it that. You know, so they've got their talking points. I'm sure most people that are using that phrase don't even know that, you know, some people say slaughterhouse. They don't know that this is Louise Slaughter, who's really an amazingly wonderful woman from New York.
Right. Right. Well, in fact, now that you've brought it up, now I have to have you listen to a Louise Slaughter soundbite because I thought she made a good point.
There's no way in the world we would be doing an unconstitutional thing. We are the Rules Committee.
I know. I love it. She goes, how can we break the rules? We're the Rules Committee.
Yeah. You know, so, and the other, can you imagine after this bill passes when people make the argument and it's 2,000 pages long? I think we could win that argument. We're going to say that there's no exemptions for pre-existing conditions for children on day one of the bill. And they'll say, but it's 2,000 pages long. I think we win.
Yeah. Well, that's what, you know, as you, the point, you know, you were making, you know, when they're down to arguing about process, they clearly have lost the argument on substance, right?
And that's exactly why because they can't make the argument on substance anymore. They really are panicking. Nancy Pelosi is all smiles. I mean, I think we have a ways to go. We're not assured of the number yet. But I'll tell you, I've been whipping. I'm a chief deputy whip, and I'm on the floor talking to people. And the whipping, from my end, has been going very well. So I think we're going to do this.
I hate to give you some bad news that one of our listeners is probably going to put that soundbite in a Devo song, into the Whippet song.
Oh, no, but that's true.
probably. That's fine. That's good. That's
so, good. But I mean, you know, obviously that's the vote counting. And what, I mean, obviously you see Bart Stupak on TV yesterday saying, oh, I'd be surprised if she even has 200 votes. And everybody, you know, everybody's an expert now in how many votes we have. What is this process? I mean, what does that mean, though, when we hear, oh, she doesn't have the votes yet, but she will? I mean, what are you basing that on?
Basing it on the fact that the phones are ringing off the hook, and not just, you know, a poll was done and found that 37% of people who even say they're against the bill are against it because it doesn't go far enough.
Right.
But I think this is really changing. Dennis Kucinich, I believe today, I hope, is going to announce that he's going to support the bill.
Ooh. Wow. Really? I knew he was going to give a press conference, but really?
We'll see soon, but I think so. Move On did a survey, and some 80-some percent of their members are for passing this. They get it, that we have to do this, we have to make a start, and that we can build on it. My calls are going about 70-30 in favor, just get it done, just get it done. And so I think that there's a growing sense of an inevitability about passing this. That's why you're seeing the huge dollars that the insurance industry now is putting into ads. You're seeing the crazy arguments about process that are cropping up.
Right. And well, it's frankly, nice to see that our premiums that were raised 40% in some states are going for a good cause, isn't it?
I mean, you know, and I don't know if you heard the sound, but I did when I questioned Angela Braly, the head of WellPoint. I asked her how much money she made, and she answered me, $1.2 million in salary and $8 million in stock options.
Wow. Congressman, you know what I love is that here's the rule. I just moved to New York, and there's only two places where it's not impolite to ask someone how much money they make, and it's New York and in Congress, apparently.
In Congress, yeah. Well, rude I was.
That's your job.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But we have a right to know that, absolutely.
I think so. She was there, justifying actually proudly supporting her 39% rate increase in California for Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield, which WellPoint owns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so when she said how much she made, I said, oh, now I get it. Excuse me. Of course you need that 39% rate increase. Only making,
snap. Well, yeah, that's the thing. But, Congresswoman, you make a really good point. There is no way to spin that. There is no way to spin the kind of salaries they're making to explain the kind of profits they're making. I mean, all the rest of us live in this economy, you know? And who do you know that's making those kind of profits and those kind of salaries in this
economy?
Well,
and also, this was, she was on the second panel. This was after three of her customers had testified how they absolutely could not afford for their families, for themselves, these kinds of rate increases, that they had to drop their policies. And I said, you know, I really think you owe something, if not your salary, at least an apology to these people who can't afford to buy your product. And she said, oh, you know, we're actually not making a profit on the private insurance market. I said, overall, you're making a big profit for, but we have to segment that market. And the individual market, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, like, I don't even remember, but what was their profit last year? I'm like, in the billions, right? And they still, I mean, there are still, like, right-wingers that spin that, oh, well, that's not really a very big profit margin. it's like you hear these sports salaries when someone gets $30 million and they're like, oh, well, that's over 5 years.
Entertained rather than cut off from our health insurance at some level. No, most people really hate the insurance companies, and it has come down to which side are you on. You're either going to go with the insurance industry, or now you're going to go with people insured and uninsured who can't get the health care they need. That's, you know, this is so far beyond the 30 million people who now will be able to afford insurance into most people who are insured who suddenly find out that they don't have it when they need it.
Right. Well, I mean, I think Harry Reid actually said it best. He said, stand up and vote. It's time to stand up and vote. Are you on the side of the insurance companies? Are you on the side of the people? I mean, it's, you know, I think as the president said, we've talked about this enough. Stand up and you know, show and tell the American people who you're for.
And that's why at this late hour to start talking about processes, if we're going to ram something through, trickery is a big word that they use, it's just ridiculous. We have gone over every inch of this bill and this whole debate for over a year now, and it's just time to vote. And people feel that now. There is an excitement brewing here.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I love the rest of what Harry Reid said. He said, you know, stand up and vote. He said, you're for making sure people can afford to live a healthy life, or you're not. You're for reining in Wall Street abuses, or you're not. You're for strengthening our economy and our borders, or you're not. There's no in between. I mean, it's so, is it me, or is that, like, so childish? Are they at the point where they're, like, spinning on their back in the Walmart parking lot saying, we're not going to do anything if you do this. We're not doing... No.
This is a tantrum. They're in major tantrum mode right now. That it is reflective of the desperation. And see, I think they know that after the bill passes, 5 seconds after the bill passes, there's going to be nothing about that matters about process. Everybody's just going to be looking at the substance, mm-hmm. what it does for them. And we have a very robust package of things that go into effect right away. People are going to see in this bill, and I don't know if you've got time for me to mention just a couple of those things, small business tax credits up to 35% of premiums. People who have kids at up to age 26, they'll be able to stay on their parents' policies. We're going to begin to close that donut hole, the gap in coverage for senior citizens. No more rescissions. That in English means canceling of policies when you get sick. No more annual caps or lifetime caps. Kids will no longer be excluded because of pre-existing conditions. So, you know, your child with asthma or an earache they had one time is not going to be able to be excluded from coverage. I mean, these are mm-hmm. things that are going to affect millions and millions of families, and that's what people are going to be looking at when the bill passes.
Yep, and the Republicans know it, or they wouldn't be fighting so hard against it at the last minute. Representative Jan Schakowsky, the rocking congresswoman from Illinois, doing the Lord's work, as usual.
And,
thank
and
you,
whipping,
congresswoman.
And whipping, you know.
And whipping.
She's whipping it good. Yeah. All right. Thank you, congresswoman. There she goes. Representative Jan Schakowsky. She's awesome.
Yep. She is.
All right. All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Oh, you know, I think we should take a break from healthcare, Chris, and do Celebrity Stack next.
Let's do it.
You know, Miley Cyrus warns of the dangers of tweeting. You know a little something about that.
Yeah, we won't go into that.
No, we won't go into why Chris has learned. You know, Hal Sparks, you're entirely too high tech. I think.
Oh, we will go into why Chris.
We won't.
Oh, yes,
no, we won't.
Will.
I'll tell you off the air.
No.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
that good?
No.
I can almost do better.
Friends just don't let friends tweet, period.
Uh-oh.
That's it. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I am shocked and appalled.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 24 points. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I am joined by High Tech Hal Sparks, as we call him.
Yes.
High Tech Hal.
Hello, how are you this morning? Good to see you. I just had to digitize myself.
Yeah. He's wearing green on St. Patrick's Day, too.
Yes, I'm wearing.
Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Why, thank you.
His green winger shirt.
Yes, you can see the wearing of the green at thehalsparks.com.
That's true. You can go there. You can go to halsparks.com/livestream and see the streaming show with me and the young Chris Lavoie. who were talking with, during the break about how he accidentally tweeted the wrong thing. Don't you know? Oh, yeah.
We cannot speak of what Chris tweeted.
The less said about, it, the better.
Kind of a miracle that
Stephanie Miller
is on the air today. Let's just say that.
It's a cautionary tale, I will say.
Because, Hal, you're one of my high-tech friends that's always like, you need to tweet more and blog more and stream and this and that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying.
See what happens?
Miley Cyrus on this. Well.
Yeah,
tweeting,
really?
That's the problem. People just share any thought that pops into their head at any time, and it leads to, you know.
But that's not a factor of tweeting.
Various dangers.
That mistake starts in the brain and ends at the extent of the body, either the tapping of the fingers, like
my point is, Chris is right now. We didn't used to have so many, high-tech ways to get ourselves in trouble. I get myself in trouble enough without it.
Right, yes.
Most of us have a microphone to get yourself in trouble.
Right.
Anybody with 3 hours a day and a microphone knows what I'm talking about.
Word.
You got time to fill. You're going to say something ridiculous at some point.
Exactly.
But I'm just saying, tweeting, for instance, right, how it gives you access to any brain fart you have any time of the day.
Yes, it certainly does.
It's like I need that feature on my email, Chris. You know, the one that doesn't let you email drunk. It's like a filter that you have to do a complicated math problem before you can hit send.
Well, I have something on...
It's like that's why God made the draft file. It's like, did I send that?
I have something on my email where it waits 10 seconds before it actually sends it. So you can hit undo. And
really?
It goes, yeah.
Wow.
There needs to be something that pops up and goes... Do you mean to send this?
Do you really want to send that?
Do you want to count to 10?
See, I don't have a problem with that. I just, you know, maybe that's the thing about not drinking. That's probably the biggest element of not ever, is that I know that I have no excuse, ever.
I never have an excuse. Chris's tweet, which is from now on will be the thing we never speak of here.
Yes, definitely. The tweet
again.
That dare not speak its name.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't drinking related. I'm just saying.
It was boredom
the whole
related.
Phenomenon of exactly the whole phenomenon of tweeting. You know, I'm just saying it allows the dissemination of brain farts. And I was thinking, what? Yeah, exactly. You're bored. You're like,
No. I mean, like I said, that stops at the end of your mouth or at the end of your fingertips. It's just like anything else. You have to engage your own natural sensor. That you don't get to put that on hold. If anything, I think it should build that skill in all of us a little better, wouldn't you think?
Technology is not your friend, Hal Sparks. I'm just saying.
I beg to differ.
It enables you, it encourages you to be more idiotic than you already are. I need something on my...
I don't need any help in that area.
I need something that pops up on my computer and just... okay, all right, don't send.
Right, when you're about to send an email. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, moron! Yeah.
Hey, idiot. Miley Cyrus thinks that instead of reading this post, this is from Delisted, instead of reading this post on the internet, you should be outside chewing a block of wood down at the dam and enjoying real life.
What?
Huh?
Oh, because she kind of looks like a beaver.
Oh, then it's not
of Twitter, but she left all that behind and has realized her life is better now that her eyeballs aren't glued to the internet all day long. In an interview, Miley talked about the dangers of the internet and how tweens are living their life through Facebook. Miley, on how the internet can murder your childhood. I'm telling you, kids, don't go on the internet. It's dangerous. It's not fun. It wastes your life. You should be outside playing sports or something.
Well, I personally think that's a marketing decision on behalf of her. Peoples and her family stuff, because that really appeals to a certain kind of, like, you know, Midwestern and Southern parent. It goes, my kid's always on, always texting, you know.
Well, I think it is. I think it has contributed to why our kids are fat, and also I think that.
Oh, no, they were well fat before Twitter.
If you've seen a group of teenagers, they're not ever talking to each other.
Stephanie,
they're texting. Or...
Stephanie, I was a fat kid, and all I did was watch TV. You don't need Twitter.
It's true. So. You can find your technology if you just want to be fat.
Exactly. Yeah. There's plenty of technology that will help you be fat.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But my point is, if you see a group of teenagers, I mean, they're always texting or on the cell phone, even when they're... And they're probably texting each other.
Damn kids these days. Get off my lawn.
Jenny, get off. Stop texting on my lawn.
You're going to tie an onion to your belt next.
I'm actually going to try and hook my Twitter account up to my ab belt. So that I can work out while I'm tweeting. That's the goal.
And I'm just saying, I bet our listeners have plenty of stories about, you know, texts or tweets or emails they shouldn't have sent.
Right.
Technology is,
especially, you know, the tech stuff. After, you know, especially after learning, you know, when you drag me to the wine bar, you know, I'm like, this could be a dangerous place. Probably everybody in there is sending at least five or six.
Why don't we just get back together? Not for permanently, but maybe just for like 2 hours.
Wine is the thing that makes you think, why is it too early to be friends? No.
Right.
No. All right.
I know I just got her number, but I called.
It's something, it filters out all the bad and just magically all the good remains. Right. Remember how great it was?
So now now we're seeing it's not the technology. It's the delivery.
The yeah, it's the person.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, my oatmeal production was successful. As those of you listening online can attest to, those were the best burps ever, weren't they?
They were impressive, yeah. I mean, only a high-fiber diet could produce that kind of expulsion from the human body. I mean,
I am chasing it with green beer this morning in honor of St. Patrick's Day.
Right. That is cheating. And I think
that's
a
kind of a bonus
of
listening on StephanieMiller.com is over the top of the hour.
Yeah.
You get to hear the...
The off-air burps,
you
know. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which I'm sure some Foley studio at LucasArts is, you know, is grabbing because they're kind of sonically perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't want to brag on your behalf, but they are.
Thank you.
I mean,
7 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Also, video streaming from the LA studio at HowSparks.com right now. But you know what? It's Wednesday, and that means it's Frisch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Carl
Frisch.
Exciting.
For Media Matters for America.
So inviting to me. Frisch.
Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Oh, good morning, lad. How are you?
Hello, Carl Frisch. How are you, lad?
Irish. I really don't do an Irish accent. So.
Listen, you have the best how-to manual ever this week at Media Matters. How to annoy Glenn Beck in 5 minutes or less.
It's really easy, too, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Just complete your census. That's all.
Yeah, I know it. To hear Beck tell it, the census is just part of the modern-day slave state.
What?
Yeah, because he's a rational, thoughtful, political analyst. You know, it fits right in with everything he said about Obama going on over a year now. You know, the president's a racist with a deep-seated hatred of white people or white culture, and this is all about reparations and trying to settle old racial scores.
Right.
But, you know, I got mine in the mail, and I thought, you know, not only do I get to have my numbers counted so that my neighborhood can get what it needs, but I can annoy Glenn Beck, too.
Exactly. I got my census yesterday, and I had just read your post, and I'm like, I am filling this out right now.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, when you think that the Fox News, that there is no, like, embarrassment level, there was a story recently that even Fox News, the other quote-unquote journalists there, feel like, oh, the Glenn Beck Network? No!
Yeah, that
no,
was,
no, 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 no.
That was the Howard Kurtz article.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
People don't want to, they're like...
Yeah, it's a bit strange. strange. I mean, you really have to wonder just how bad it is internally for stories like that to leak out. Because keep in mind, this is a network that so closely controls its message to news reporters like Howard Kurtz. So if you, you know, if somebody like Kurtz were to report something that they didn't like, their communications people would be all over Kurtz, just like a campaign, which is totally different than how the PR people at CNN or MSNBC or NBC News act.
Yeah, I mean, you and all of us here can get a particular giggle out of them being afraid that they're going to taint the Fox News journalism brand. But still, all right. Glenn Beck on the TV on the health care reform.
The control that this government has is endless. They will, if this passes, they will control every aspect of your life. They will be able to, there is places in here that if you can be deemed someone who maybe shouldn't have a baby, they can have their people come in. The government is in our homes on this.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, this is coming from a guy who, in the last 2 weeks alone, has told his audience, pull your kids out of public school, leave your church.
Right.
But yes. The government's too involved in your life.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. I think the Glenn Beck crazy pills could be done away with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's based on absolutely nothing of any sort of substance
reality?
Or fact.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, well, if you inhaled that much chalk dust over a considerable period of time, you know, you'd think the chalkboard was talking to you, too.
Allegedly on purpose.
All right. You know, I know they're in the process, Carl, of counting the votes, of course, on health care, but they'll be dejected to know that Talking Points will not be voting for it, even though, as last I checked, Talking Points doesn't have a vote. But
Talking Points would not vote for Obamacare, not because of ideology, but because of the huge expense, which the country can't afford, and the amazing array of unintended consequences that will kick in once the feds try to run the health care industry. Mm. The massive Obamacare plan is already out of control, and it hasn't even been passed yet.
And how is that actually possible in any way? How is it actually possible for something that doesn't exist to actually already be a problem?
Because Talking Point says so.
Right.
Right. It has nothing to do with ideology, though. It's just about the cost, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder how the pinhead segment is going to vote.
Yeah, and again, there's nothing more sweet to the ears than the sound of Bill O'Reilly reading from a teleprompter. he's genuinely sincere in being this independent, people's people, man's man. It's just ridiculous.
It's just common sense. Where is common sense gone? You know, that idea I have in my head that matches nothing in reality or in anyone else's normal thought process? That's what's common sense.
I think it was a little bit too emotional for it to be so
crappy. Britt Hume on the healthcare.
By any normal political calculus, this bill would have been dead a long time ago. The public likes some of its parts, but overall dislikes the bill by a significant majority and is deeply alarmed about its cost. The majority party has been losing off-year elections since it took up the measure, and a Republican who campaigned on a promise to block it got elected from Massachusetts.
Oh, excuse me. Hang on. Breaking news. Dennis Kucinich will vote in favor of health care.
Yeah. Wow.
Breaking news on CNN right now.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, I guess that'll counteract the talking points to have no vote.
I've decided to vote to cast a vote in favor of health care reform bills, as Dennis Kucinich.
And I don't want to be party to a tickle fight.
That's right.
Wow.
Except if it's a victory lap style tickle fight. Like, the Democrats are so happy they actually were able to pass anything through all this, they just start rolling around on the floor going, come in, I can't breathe!
Boy, may I just say, that's been the only suspense, Chris, I've had in healthcare in a while. I'm just reading the Chiron on CNN. It's like, okay, is it yes or no?
Come on!
It's been ridiculous.
My criticism has been well supported, blah, blah, blah. Okay! Yeah.
Wow,
that's huge, isn't it, Eric? Or, I'm sorry, Carl, that's huge news.
Big news. I mean, especially when you consider, like, the last 3 or 4 days of coverage where they've been talking about my old boss, Louise Slaughter, wanting to use the House rules to pass health care.
Heaven God forbid.
You know, when I worked for her when we were in the minority, Newt and company, the Republicans in control of Congress, used the same procedure like 122 times. Democrats want to use it once, and the sky is falling.
Yep, absolutely. You know what I think it was, now that I'm thinking about it, Chris, is I think Ed Schultz told him to. And, you know, I moved to New York, as Ed Schultz told me, too.
Yeah.
I think it can't be underestimated. He's big, and when he tells you to do something, you do it.
Yeah,
he
do
had
it out
a
of
couple
fear.
Nights ago. All right, Tucker Carlson on the prepare. On health.
This is repulsive. It's without precedent. Mm. But the Democrats understand something deeper about this, which is it's an entitlement. This is not a reform. It's an entitlement. And entitlements are narcotics. They're addictive. Oh. And over time, short time, 5 years maybe, if this becomes law, the American population will be addicted to it. It will be sacrosanct. You will not be able to run against it. That's why this is such a momentous moment. That's why this is the moment when the country changes forever.
Oh,
forever.
Good. Yes. I want my narcotic entitlement.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as intoxicating as maybe the Patriot Act, you think rescinding that thing would be easy to do?
Did you guys know that he was still employed at Fox?
Yeah, I mean, Tucker Carlson, exactly. They don't trot him out much.
Almost up on that one. I mean, CNN, them,
and you think someone that wears a bow tie that much might need an angiogram or something at some point.
He stopped that a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah. Probably because he needed an angiogram that wasn't covered on his health care.
And I don't want to go too internet-y, but look at what happened to his brand when he took the bow tie off.
Yeah.
Gone. But seriously, he's gonna bring it back like Kiss's makeup. You watch, there's gonna be like this Tucker Carlson goodbye tour where he'll for 10 years where he'll wear the bow tie just in certain cities.
Well, you know, he did go from, you know, CNN to MSNBC and now Fox. So when he does do that bow tie tour, I'm sure he'll have a show on like the Home Shopping Network or something after being
with Dennis Miller on
It's the last version of Sean Hannity grasping for straws on health care. Here we go.
I guess the thing that stands out more than anything else in this whole issue is the corruption, is the process, is the vote buying, is the bribery, is the, you're going to vote for a rule change, but you're not going to vote on the actual bill. Do they think these 55 people, are they that stupid? Do they not realize what's going to happen?
Mm. Do they not remember when the Republicans did it again and again and again?
I remember when Republicans were handing out campaign money on the House floor. You know, I remember when they would hold votes open for hours on end to twist arms to get Medicare Part D through with a big payout to the pharmaceutical companies. So, you know, I know Hannity didn't really say anything about that at the time other than, you know, you do what you have to do to get it done. But, you know, there's nothing unique about the processes being used. But it is another good opportunity to point out just how hypocritical Sean Hannity is.
Yep, exactly. His pal, drug-addled gas bag, Rush Limbaugh, I, you know, some things, Carl, we can all agree on, and that is what the biggest threat to America is.
This is one of the biggest domestic threats. We got a president who is essentially a third-world president.
Oh,
what?
Wow.
He's the biggest threat to the country.
Right. No, you know, if we look at health care, and I don't care if you agree or disagree with it, I think we can all agree that the idea of Rush Limbaugh leaving the country if it passes is something we can all unite behind.
We can all get behind that.
And everybody should vote for it just for that reason alone.
Except on the point that Costa Rica has what would be the equivalent of a public option in their health care system. They do actually have a system similar to what we're trying to actually pass.
Right, exactly. Just like when he was in Hawaii and had the heart worries. I'm not asking for consistency. I just want him to leave.
Right, exactly.
Hey,
that's true.
We don't care about hypocrisy.
Sorry,
just make good on your threat. All right, let's end with an edition of Republicans eating their own. Dick Armey about how crazy Tom Tancredo is.
When I was a majority leader, I saw to it that Tom Tancredo did not get on a stage because I saw how destructive he was. Republicans got to get this right and get off this goofiness that they have. Ronald Reagan said, tear down that wall. Tom Tancredo said, build a wall. Who's right?
Wow. Dick Armey, who hangs out with teabaggers all day, on how crazy and extreme Tom Tancredo is.
I like the venti crazy. I'm not so much, you know, a fan of the tall crazy. This is ridiculous. I understand.
Don't say grande crazy because that sounds Mexican.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand how difficult it is for them to choose just how crazy it is to be acceptable in the Republican Party.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's an ever-shifting higher standard.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This Tea Party movement has been built in large part by Dick Armey's Freedom Works. Mm-hmm. And for him to think that Tom Tancredo is, just too far out there, when all you have to do is turn on the TV when these rallies are happening to see what else is out there, is just kind of hilarious.
Well, is he drunk in that? Did he sound...
He always sounds a little drunk.
I mean, that was special, though. That was special.
All right. Yeah. Carl, thank you, as always. It was frisch. It was really frisch and exciting this week. Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
All right. There he goes. 19 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal. Back to Celebrity Stack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, folks. Stephanie Miller here. You know, in 5,000 years, governments and currencies have come and gone, but gold remains real money. That kind of stability is very desirable in times like these. That's why you should call my friends at ITM Trading. ITM has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. I have some historic Double Eagle gold coins from ITM. You should, too. ITM's been safely delivering gold and other precious metals for almost 15 years. We're all hopeful about our country's finances, but hope may not be enough. In this economy, you've got to think ahead. I like to take my cues from large, sophisticated buyers, and with China and India buying up tons of gold recently, I think gold's an important diversification right now. Call the experts at ITM Trading, a loyal sponsor of my program for over 4 years now. They'll answer all your questions and send you a free information packet detailing what you need to know about owning gold. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Philosophy. A freak like me just needs
Stephanie Miller.
Okay. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour.
Doesn't scan so well, really.
No.
Freak like me needs Stephanie Miller.
Good morning, Jim Ward. Oh, you're here now, so we can talk about Eric Holder saying Osama bin Laden.
He will be killed by us, or he will be killed by his own people so that he's not captured by us. We know that.
Right. So he can't talk about what he knows. About his connection to the CIA.
Oh, boy. Well, dead men tell no tales. And so far as the French are concerned, he's been dead for 3 years.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's already dead.
Yeah, right. And here's the thing.
I heard this and I thought, oh, God, Hal and Jim are going to collide getting to this
to the conspiracy
today.
Part of it? Absolutely.
Yes, how do you know he'll never be caught alive? Maybe because he's already dead.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Let's say you have a guy who is a major face of the opposition, and you know that taking him out is actually a strategically smart thing to do. But if you do it, you martyr him and possibly extend his command and control apparatus even further. So what you'd have to do is kill him, and then pretend you don't know where he is. Keep looking for him. Right. I mean, that's part of the plan, logically. I don't want to give away the farm
too
much. Wait
a minute, you gave away the ending now.
Right, but I mean, in all honesty, if you were doing that kind of thing, you would kill him and go, well, we can't find him. He's in the hills someplace. We've been looking. I can't believe it. He put out a new tape yesterday.
But, Holder made a good point, though. He said it infuriates him to hear conservative critics complain terrorists would get too many rights in the court system. He said terrorists in court have the same rights Charles Manson would have or any other kind of mass murderer. It doesn't mean that they're going to be coddled. It doesn't mean they're going to be treated with kid gloves.
They have a right to a fair trial. If what's his name? Bin Laden. If they'd admitted him being killed way back then, they would have had no justification for going into Iraq. People said, "Yeah, we got the guy.
Right?
What? You want
now? You want out?
What? You want another war?
Right now? Now everybody would want out of everywhere. They go, well, it's done then, right?
Yeah. I mean, we win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. I this whole argument. I've told you one of my best friends was a psychologist at Charlie Manson's prison. Trust me, they're not coddling him.
No.
At Corcoran, the maximum security prison. No.
No. He makes spiders out of his hair and sells them on eBay.
Yeah. Ew.
I told you my favorite part of that story.
You're allowed to do that?
My friend has two daughters, and they actually do have Take Your Daughter to Work Day at Corcoran
prison. Wow.
My friend actually has to wear a stab-proof vest. She's like, honey, put your stab-proof vest. Oh, now we're walking by Charlie Manson's cell.
Weird.
it's very weird. She's the one that she works in the in the segregated unit.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people that are too crazy for Charlie Manson to want to be with.
Right.
That guy's crazy. You need to segregate him. I can't be hanging out with All right. Breaking news on the Celebrity Stack. Tiger Woods, superficial rights, ready to be golfing Jesus again. Tiger Woods is playing in the Masters to the surprise of absolutely no one even remotely familiar with golf. The Masters is where I won my first major, and I view this tournament with great respect. Clearly greater respect than he views his wife. But that's another story for another time, ladies.
Quackadoo.
I've undergone almost 2 months of inpatient therapy. I'm continuing my treatment. Although I'm returning to competition, I still have a lot of work to do in my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
In Tiger Woods, superficial says, in Tiger Woods' defense, pretending to be sorry all day long is boring. No, you can't even relax and play Xbox without having to look remorseful for banging 27 hookers in one night.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Who is this? Where is that ever alleged? 27 hookers in one night. If that was alleged, that's a whole new level of the story. That's like Mickey Rourke zone now. Did you hear about that business?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
14 women in one night. I mean, I think that's because none of them could stay in the room more than 8 minutes. You're like,
just from the smell of Mickey Rourke.
Yeah,
of the
dogs. Looks like he smells.
His weird little dogs, and it's, you know.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with more Celebrity Stack, including, that. Speaking of sluts, the John Edwards slut, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's been St. Patrick's Day for hours, and I'm still not drunk yet.
I'm clearing the way with some more burps, though.
Oh, good.
34 more green beer. 34 minutes after the hour.
It is beer.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. We are midway through. We are at the hump of Hump Days with Hal.
That's true.
Yes.
Hal
yes.
Sparks in the L.A. studio. You can see him streaming on HalSparks.com right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's high-tech Hal.
Yeah, it is. I'm a cyborg. It's true.
Chris Lavoie?
Computer says no.
No.
Not so much.
I've been banned from all technology.
Yes, you have, indeed. It's the tweet that shall not speak its name. Jim, you haven't heard the story yet, but...
Stephanie Miller.
Almost not on the air today due to an unwise
He just walked in the room, so he doesn't have his headphones on.
Tweet of Chris's that we won't... It's the thing that we won't speak about anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Chris and Sheila and Yankton write, Steph, your discussion this morning about unwise tweets, about sharing every single thing that races through your brain, reminds me of a line from Lilith on an episode sort of Wings. You know, it is permissible to have an unexpressed thought. Yeah. Well, the technology, and as Hal Sparks pointed out earlier, wine bars are the other culprit in unwise tweets.
Right.
Why is it too early to be friends? Maybe they weren't the bad kind of felonies.
Look, anything in the digital world legally is not within the confines of a restraining order at this point. There's not precedent. Look, just because I'm foursquaring wherever you are does not mean I'm stalking you. It just means I'm also here.
All right, speaking of people that don't understand technology, did you hear this about John Edwards' mistress, Rielle Hunter? She did that photo spread. You saw it, right?
She's very upset.
She's very upset. She says, I thought they were only going to be headshots. What?
Uh-huh.
I had no pants on, and you took the whole... That's like the Sharon Stone thing, right, in Basic Instinct.
Oh,
I didn't know they were going to photograph my...
Oh, well, then she no should have worn some pants.
He told me to spread my legs, and it wouldn't. Nothing would happen. You weren't going to show that part.
Suddenly everybody is Coco in Fame.
I can't
leave the space. What's wrong with you?
If they're 20 feet away from you, chances are it's not a close-up.
Right.
Yeah, I love this story. It's hilarious. Superficial writes, John Edwards' mistress and the mother of his love child, Rielle Hunter, cried to Barbara Walters that she's repulsed by her GQ photo shoot, claimed she thought they were only going to use headshots.
Uh-huh.
This prompted a GQ reporter to go on today's the Good Morning America show and essentially say, you're kidding me, right? Rielle is a smart woman. She knows what she wore and what she was doing in the photo shoot. She posed for pictures in only wearing a man's button-down white shirt, a string of pearls, and panties.
On a bed with stuffed animals.
Right.
Like, for instance, when I go on TV, and, you know, you're on satellite, Hal, you know this. You know I don't wear pants because you know they're only going to photograph
me
from the waist up.
Absolutely. Every time and I've been on, when I go on CNN, especially Jane Velez Mitchell, because even when you're on live on her show, you're still in another room on camera, so who cares?
Yes.
Just take your pants off
and get comfortable. Still my workout tights and Uggs or whatever, because you're like, oh, they're not foot. But come on, give me a break.
Right.
You're in a GQ photo shoot. You think they're only going to do headshots. Mm-hmm. Then why, I forgot. That's why I didn't wear pants, because I... GQ, of course, released a video of the shoot to GMA, and at one point the photographer says, you want to take a look at this? To Riel Hunter? So this is like the... What's her name? Carrie, the Miss... Who? What's her name?
Which
homophobe
one?
California, when she...
Oh, Carrie Fremont.
I have no idea. What?
I had no idea the rest of the world would see my nude-ish pictures that I took and the video I sent to my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Without ever thinking that we might actually be exes at some point.
Right, it's kind of hard to claim you only thought a magazine was doing headshots when you're sitting in a pile of stuffed animals without pants on.
Right.
Which raises another question. Why the hell are you being photographed in your child's bedroom without pants on?
Right. That was so weird. That was
Yeah, well, it was the incongruity of that one picture of her holding her daughter, but in this sexy pose with her stomach showing.
Right, yeah.
Like,
Everybody's trying to be Demi Moore, you know, circa pregnancy 1997 or whatever that was. You know what the interesting thing was?
When she gave birth to Ashton Kutcher.
It is becoming clearer by the second, though, how she actually fell for John Edwards' story, like, line. You know what I mean? Like, before you're like, how could she... Why would she get caught up into this? You know, you seem like a reasonable person, you know, and then after this whole kerfuffle with the pictures, you're like, oh, I get it.
Okay,
she's easily BS'd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? Okay. I don't know about you guys, but isn't the kid in the picture kind of a buzzkill? Like, yeah, she's half naked. You're like, oh, you're holding your kid.
Yeah, look at that old baby.
I didn't think it was that kind of magazine.
Oh, you already have one.
That's what turns you guys in the possibility of of having one. Not one already there.
There's the possible end result.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for reminding me.
So it's like getting a tramp stamp with your kids' names.
Oh no!
You people do that?
Do they really?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh God.
Not a lot, but you know, I've seen a couple.
Chris, could I have my love story music? I think I sense a love story, well, a PR love, a match made in heaven. The Jersey Shore is the sitch. You know the sitch.
The situation.
Mike the Situation Sorrentino.
Yeah.
He's looking for a date to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Who has tickets to the White House Correspondents' Dinner this year, Chris?
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Oh, boy.
Really?
I think I need to invite the sitch. That's my date, so we can get a little pub. For the Stephanie Miller Show.
I think that's a great idea.
Oh, no.
He has a message for D.C. News outlets. He wants to attend the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He said, I heard it's just a day where pretty much some of the biggest celebrities of the year get to come and meet the president. My show's one of the biggest shows of the year, me being the main character of my show, as well as being one of the breakout stars of the year.
Ugh.
I think this has all the earmarks of my disastrous date with Greg Brady to the Emmys in Disney's misguided attempt to get publicity for me.
And
my
disastrous
late night show.
That's an awesome.
The situation's going to have to take you aside after the red carpet and yell at you for something.
Saying I'm on Jersey Shore. I'll be like, but you are.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
He said
CNN put me as one of their most intriguing characters of the month, saying he should be a guest on Wolf Blitzer's The Situation Room.
Why?
Get it, Jim?
This is a situation.
Hey, Wolf, get out. It's my room. It sits right there in the wall.
I'm here in The Situation Room with The Situation.
I'm so confused.
I'm just checking to see what situation my situation was in.
That's too much irony for me. That's Jack Cafferty's area.
Stephanie, I don't think you could be with him for more than a couple of minutes without being completely annoyed by him. Seriously.
I think so, too. I'm not sure I'm willing to do that for publicity. Media whore that I am.
Wow, he actually thinks he's Olivier or something.
I'm not even sure I have an extra ticket. I think I'm Bill Press's date, so I don't really... I think it's just...
What about the lovely and talented Mrs. Press? She's not going?
I think she... Right. I don't know
Maybe
what the deal is.
Maybe she wants a date with
the
situation.
I think it's his table.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to have a situation with Mrs. Press. Jim.
And why wouldn't you ask somebody, you know, that you allow into your home, watches your dogs?
You're bucking for a ticket, are you, Hal Sparks?
No, I'm just bucking to be your date someplace.
No, I seriously don't think I think I'm tagging along. I don't think I have an
This music does not sound like sad romantic music. It always reminds me of when Rocky's asking for the blessing from the priest when he's going, "Hey, Father Carmine, I got to go home so late. I just want him to bless me so I don't get hurt or nothing."
Why would you get hurt with another 250-pound man smacking you in the head?
Right, yeah.
What are the chances?
Okay, Big Street.
I can't believe the segue you just gave me. Why, it's a story about Mike Tyson.
Oh!
What?
Am I magic or what? All right.
You know, you guys being in the show business are aware of this. You know, when you're a big name, it doesn't really matter what the idea is. They want you for a TV show. How about if I fart in a cup? Okay. And if you're nobody, they don't. You can have the best idea in the world. Mike Tyson is doing a new show with Animal Planet. He will take audiences
the
inside the competitive and bizarrely fascinating world of pigeon racing.
I want to tag the ears of all the endangered animals.
He's been into pigeons for a long time now.
What? We're not really having this conversation, are we? He's been into pigeons for a really long time now? This is a conversation about Mike Tyson?
Yes.
Like Perry and on the waterfront. Yeah, pigeons on the roof. Like his pets. He was my brother, Charlie. She looked out for me a little bit.
It's called Taking on Tyson.
Taking on Tyson?
Yes.
What does that have to do with pigeons?
Yeah, really. Unless they're taking on the task of carrying him across the city. He's just it's setting up for his big Guinness Book thing where 95 pigeons that he's trained will carry him across the city.
It's totally going to work this time.
All right, speaking of shows I would watch, Betty White. Who doesn't love them some Betty White? Her dance card continues to fill. Not only is she hosting Saturday Night Live on May 8th, 88 she is. My 87-year-old slacker mother sitting around not hosting anything.
Seriously, pull your weight.
Yeah.
Jesus.
She's hosting SNL, and she is also just signed to co-star in a TV Land sitcom called Hot in Cleveland. She plays the snarky but spry caretaker of a Cleveland home shared by three former L.A. residents, Valerie Bertinelli, Jane Leaves, and Wendy Malick.
Wow.
Wendy Malick. Purr.
It just sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I worked with her.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Worked with...
I ran into her hiking near my house in L.A. She's... I just felt the need to name drop. But she's hilarious, though.
Yeah.
Yes. Love her.
Brilliant. And Dream On. I mean, everybody will say that, you know, shows like The Sopranos is what turned HBO into a real force as far as Dream On. Yeah. Dream On.
Yes,
did.
I love that show.
Yeah.
Love that show. She's the only person, a celebrity I've interviewed on television that actually pulled my own hair out of my mouth during the interview.
What?
Huh?
Yeah,
Must have been some interview.
I was very startled. It must have gotten on my lipstick or something.
Sure.
It was
yours.
Was there Jell-O involved?
You're right. This is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Let's move on.
D-listed writes Paula Abdul to host reboot of Star Search. What?
Huh?
Isn't
American Idol a reboot of Star Search?
Pretty much. Exactly. Well, except without the spokesmodels.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the best part.
Or the acting. The acting was really the best part because it was like, we're going to do a scene that's kind of written for the show, kind of. This is awful. It's just awful.
Yeah, because they'd have to pick, like, just, you know, really over-the-top scenes and then be really even more over-the-top.
Right.
It would be like the Mommy Dearest.
I am not one of your fans.
Right, and David
and
Hasselhoff.
Okay.
Oh, that was good.
You must pay the rent.
I cannot pay the rent.
You must pay the rent.
D-listed says, ever since the new season of American Idol started, it hasn't been the same for me without the incoherent ramblings from the heavily medicated Vicodin angel known as Paula Abdul. Well, there's a good chance Paula will be slobbering all over a stage again soon in talks with ABC to host and possibly judge a new reboot of Star Search. Last summer, ABC tried to lure Paula by leaving a trail of lewds from her house to dancing with the stars. So they're hoping.
I think Simon and Cara are doing it. Based on the body language.
Oh, yeah?
I get the definite impression.
Did you know Kara's father is now going to be running for Senate from the state of New York against Kirsten Gillibrand?
That's
weird. Yeah, that's weird.
That is weird.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's a Republican. Huh.
Everybody's. And Scott Brown's daughter was
on American Idol.
It's all
There's
one degree
whole,
of reality separation. Oh, and I'm dating the Sitch now. All right, 46 minutes.
Does the situation know this?
No. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back with the little more celebrity stack and the latest on healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's her political party, and she'll cry if she wants to. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
everybody, everybody, let's get into it.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm all get it started. I'm all get it started. Get it started. Let's get it started. Ha. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Ha. Let's get it started in here.
In here. It is the Stephanie Miller Show in the midst of Hump Days with Hal up in here. 51.
Oh, no.
See, I love it when you get down verbally.
Y'all going to make me lose my mind up in here.
Word. Dave in Toronto, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dave.
Hello, Stephanie. Before I get to my comment, I'm wondering, since I am absolutely taken with your charm, your wit, your ethereal beauty. And
did you hear my burps at the top of the hour?
Well, I was coming to that. Your ability to finish off an entire box of wine. I'm just wondering if I could be appointed the official smitten Canadian of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm, that's a good one.
Well, you'll have to bump Hal Sparks out of the way, but all right.
I'm American. Well, I'm only Canadian by injection. I was only in Canada for 5 years doing Queer as Folk, so I don't. Yeah.
I will get the T-shirt printed up then. I go to you. I think I threw up in my mouth a little bit here. I have to defend Tucker Carlson.
What?
Oh, yes. When he said that about the health, the medical bill coming in, that this is the day your society changes forever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's certainly what happened up here in Ontario when our decent government-run health insurance plan came in. It changed our society forever and for the better,
right.
Mr. Carlson.
Exactly.
Yep, exactly. All right. Thank you, Dave.
Notice that they do leave those kind of qualifiers off. You know what I mean? They go, they're trying to turn this country into a, you know, a, like France.
A Stalinist hellhole like Canada.
Right. Like, they're trying to make it more like France. Yeah, we're trying to take the good parts of some other countries and go, hey, you do that well. We're not going to take all of your system, but this part works. We don't mind taking that.
We're going to continue bathing, but we're going to take
your health. Exactly. Bidets might be a good idea. I'm just saying.
All right, I have one last celebrity stack, and it leads to my favorite subject and breaking news about Stephanie Miller.
Oh?
All right, Brooke Shields has infuriated her neighbors with renovation work on her New York home. She has commissioned extensive changes to her $5.6 million home in the city's West Village. But builders are said to be making so much noise and mess, other residents threatening to move out. They start construction at 6 a.m. every morning, and people are outraged. A group of residents confronted the renovation team, but were told, if you have a problem, take it up with Brooke Shields.
Oh.
Who is, like, I've met and is, like, 1,000 feet tall.
Yeah, she is. She's amazingly tall. Yeah.
She's taller than the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. You don't want to get into a fight.
Right, yeah.
All right.
Nobody steps on a church in my town.
That's what she says if you bitch about her construction.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't want to move near there, but the breaking news about Stephanie Miller, how this affects you too, is I'm getting evicted from my lean-to here in Calcutta. So I'm going to be... Who is that Republican that's... I'm going to be a hobo.
You are going to be a hobo. What do you mean?
Yeah. I need to find somewhere for me and my dogs to... A refrigerator box of some
because
sort.
Because of the dogs you're being evicted?
No. I kid. No, my lease is coming up anyway. So I thought I was going to be able to stay, but it's a long story. Her daughter's moving in or something.
Oh, right.
Yes. So I need to either be a hobo or I'll have to find somewhere else to live with two giant dogs.
Why don't you just live in a van down by the river?
Yeah.
I mean,
down by the river.
It's more.
And even that, I understand, is like $5,000 a month.
It is. Yeah.
There are people who live in boats down by the river, actually on the river.
Yeah. They've created junks now, just like in China and in Hong Kong.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you stay at my place next week, Hal, you'll have to get all your Trading Places jokes out of the way.
That's true. Because the next place will be a closet in the village. But you go, this place is awesome. And the funny thing is, what you consider unbelievably small, the next place you move into, you're like, this is so cramped. Other New Yorkers will come in and go, you can play basketball in here. So
I think in the West Village, pretty much everyone's out of the closet.
That's true.
Oh,
yes, right.
All right. Democrats defended plans to push massive health care legislation through the House without a direct vote. Republicans assailed the strategy. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said no final decision has been made on the complex parliamentary strategy which would allow House Democrats to pass the Senate health bill without voting on the bill itself. Instead, House members who dislike the Senate bill would vote on a rule for debate that would deem the bill passed once a smaller package of fixes has also passed. Hoyer defended the procedure, noting it has been used in the past by both parties and, once again, more often by Republicans. And regardless of the approach, the House would be passing Senate legislation. Speaker Pelosi yesterday.
I didn't hear any of that ferocity when hundreds of times the Republicans used these methods when they were in power. This is part, maybe 25% of what they did. So this is, if you don't want to talk about substance, talk about process.
Yeah, exactly. And Speaker Pelosi is saying, reiterating once again,
we will do what is necessary to pass a health care bill.
And the breaking news this morning, of course, Dennis Kucinich, you were right, Chris, voting yes on health care.
Yep. Great.
Yeah.
I think he realized that because it's so close, his vote does matter, you know, and so he can't just do a protest vote. He needs to be on board.
I think he just woke up and in the thought bubble immediately was, you know, Bart Stupak's a giant ass hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do I want to be on the side of the giant ass hats of the world? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Senator Mitch McChinless said it will go down in history as one of the most extraordinary legislative sleights of hand in history.
It's a process that's in the congressional rule book, so it's completely fine.
Where's my circus music again? The boner, Jim, called it it's a trick. It's a trick. It's a sleight of hand.
It's a shell game. I put a nickel under the shell and it won't be there when you...
You know, if Nancy Pelosi had a sense of humor, you know what she would do? When this bill is passed, she would come and pull it out of one sleeve and then pull a dove out of the other sleeve. and some colored scarves.
I think she should
make a balloon animal.
She should make them vote on things based on picking one hand over the other. She should just hold... which bill is it? Which bill is the hand in?
We're not allowed to see it. We're going to pick a hand without looking at it before.
Yeah. I think
she makes it like she makes a beautiful piece of origami out of the healthcare bill and makes a hat.
Or origami.
Yeah.
Origami and makes a hat out of it and puts it on the boner's head. That's what I think.
Eek.
58 minutes after
sounded
the hour.
Odd.
Back with more on the breaking news on healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Six minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. We are in the midst of hump days with Hal.
It's true.
We are streaming on HalSparks.com, video streaming. And
even truer.
We are just the old-fashioned audio streaming on StephanieMiller.com. Join us, won't you? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere to join the party. You can email us all at TheStephanieMiller.com. Executive producer, Chris LaBoye, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. All right. Oh, and someone on our live blog on StephanieMiller.com has a suggestion for me.
Yes.
Now that I've been evicted from my lean-to here in Calcutta.
They said you need to show up on Keith's doorstep with a sympathy casserole and just not leave.
Yes, I'm sure that will end well for me. By the way, send your thoughts and prayers to Keith Olbermann in case you hadn't heard his dad passed away over the weekend. That special comment he gave was beyond brilliant and heart and, you know, and just moving and all that. So anyway,
Not too Republicans, though.
No, of course not.
Well, you have to have something to move in that area.
Yeah.
You have to actually, you know, it's still a little too empathetic for them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is gay in French.
Right.
Chris, I believe this Funstack story, it involves two of the main rules of the Stephanie Miller Show, and they are nothing good ever comes from drinking games with brown liquor or phone calls after 3 a.m.
And
this involves both of them.
We need to add another one to that. Don't tweet every stray thought.
That's something Chris LaBoye learned the hard way, and it's a wonder that
Stephanie Miller
is even here today. Mm-hmm. All right.
Hmm.
It's the tweet that dare not speak its name now. We just won't. It's
what?
The thing. It's the incident that we don't talk about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, I know what the incident is. I'm not scared. I'm sorry.
I missed the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't. I'm like, I get it. We got to tap in.
I'm just saying, Jim, technology allows you to, you know, it just enables you to
make an
share
ass of
every
yourself?
Stray thought.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That
and
ever
I,
comes into your head,
I
whether through substance abuse or boredom.
Or all
and it's bound
of
to,
the above. Yeah.
It's bound to get you in trouble. All right, this story out of St. Paul, Minnesota. A middle school teacher was accused of biting off part of a man's ear during a confrontation at a diner. The prosecutors say the 30-year-old woman was drunk, there you go, when she attacked the man at about 4 a.m. on Sunday. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? Phone call after 3 a.m., Chris.
That's
and
right.
A drinking game, I'm guessing, with ground liquor. And he could have ended up in the crawl space under her house, which is that's the
yeah,
other thing.
Yeah, right.
Nothing good ever comes from the crawl space.
So. Yeah, she just bit him. She didn't keep chewing. I mean, it's not like this was a zombie incident.
Right.
You know? Like, it's her, you know what I mean? Like, you know, this is... right. Yeah, I'm not scared. I'm not scared. Like, and where was it? In Minnesota?
Minnesota.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was probably, by their comparison, it was probably a kiss that just went a little too far. Why? What's with the nibbling?
His ear just looked exactly like Ludafisk. That was
yeah, right.
Couldn't help herself.
Hey, speaking of the crawl space, I've had my first exciting moment in New York. I saw my first cockroach.
Yay.
Wow. And,
it's taken this long?
Spring has sprung.
Yeah.
You know, the little one's not so bad, but this one you could ride in the Kentucky Derby. That's when you hear that horse trumpet, when you see it, you know that. I was like, wow.
Yeah, there it is.
Wow. Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It must have been the rains or something, the monsoon we had here in Calcutta that caused the,
Have you seen the sewer rats, though? The ones that come out into the subway?
Yeah.
They're like the size of a baby stroller.
It really is. Yeah,
I have not seen them.
It's like Calcutta. Seriously.
Yeah. There's apparently two rats in New York for every person.
Oh, my God.
Really? Yeah,
there's
a fun fact.
Two girls for every boy.
Right.
A capybara-sized rat for every girl.
Right. And there's 7 million people in New York, something like that? Right.
Oh, how about those teabaggers yesterday? Chris, you said it was merely more of a smattering.
Speaking of rats.
100 or 2?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They carried signs that read, God heals, Obamacare steals.
Oh, boy.
That's great. So if you have...
So the only thing really is it just has to fit on a sign. It doesn't really need to make any sort of
it has to rhyme.
Sense as to what is it stealing exactly. I don't... Okay.
It's not stealing anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. There's no follow-through on it at all.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
It just... It's good. It's good for a bumper sticker.
God
that's about
heals
it.
Jessica Biels.
Right. Yeah.
I don't. Okay. Yeah. And if you see Representative, what's his name, Republican of Texas, Louis Gohmert. This is the sanctity of life.
Surprise!
No, not that guy.
Pile.
Holding up the health care bill, he shouted, "I brought an abortion to show you today." Dear. He. Guess who else was there? The stunning Representative Steve King. Republican of Iowa, he claimed it's a fact that the bill does fund abortion and does fund illegals.
No.
Huh? When it specifically says
yes, apparently that's in the health care. It doesn't even just give them health insurance. It funds them.
Right.
It funds their being here and their illegality.
Yeah, it subsidizes them, gives them plane tickets on Virgin.
Right.
Peanuts. Yeah.
And forces them to have abortions.
Right.
Repeatedly.
Oh, my God, Jim, they're going to have to do a new ad with those old people. I can't get my surgery because they're...
Hey, you Mexicans are having abortions on the first-class Virgin Airlines.
Right. I can't even get in the John now. They're at the VFW getting abortions and right in front of the salad bar.
Once again, let's review for you and, of course...
They're serving placenta at the salad bar!
It's good for you.
Let's review for
look at my hair.
And also for stupid Stupak. The bill very clearly does not fund abortion. It creates a clear firewall between public and private money going even beyond the current law. Moreover, the Catholic Hospitals Association have endorsed the bill. So
what?
Just FYI. Okay, write it down. Well, here's the punchline. Republicans are threatening to make life difficult for Democrats if they try to push health care reform through the Senate using the budget reconciliation. Oh, no. Really? Representative John Kyle said it will be much, much harder to reach bipartisan consensus on anything if Democrats push ahead with reconciliation. He said financial regulatory reform, for instance, could fall victim. Are you kidding me? I mean, you're not getting anything if you do. Oh!
Yeah.
Wow.
Here's something else I pulled out of my ass.
I mean, seriously, they don't care if we have another financial meltdown like we've just had. Because
right.
You can't. He said, I don't think immigration reform was realistic, but this certainly doesn't enhance its prospects at all. Oh, I see. Because basically, isn't he saying they weren't going to vote for that anyway?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But now we're really, now we're double dare you. We're double.
We're super duper not going to double vote on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're now the party of
No
has sort of an affirmative quality to it almost, where in the negative, like, I'm not allowing something bad to happen. That's not what they're doing at all. They're just denying everything without even looking at it.
Yes.
They don't even do the homework.
Yes. Kyle went on to say, even something like climate legislation, all these things will be impacted by the mood of the Senate, and it's not going to be good if this reconciliation process
Or like the party of as F.
Yeah. Shuh.
These are what things will impact the mood of the Senate, like it's a colicky child. It's going to make us freaky, and we're not going to...
It's not going to want its whoopee.
It's going to throw my peas across the room.
I just can't wait for this part to be over so we can all go start attacking the banksters, which will
have
bipartisan support.
You won't think, but...
Asked about post-reconciliation fallout, Senator Orrin Hatch declared it could be war. Oh, dear God. Joe Lieberman said it'll make it a partisan and less productive place than it's been,
it's
I'm afraid.
Partisan. I don't want any partisanship in this body. It's never, ever happened before.
That's
Is he saying that it's possible for the Senate to be less productive than it has been? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be bad.
Well, technically speaking, this has been one of the most productive legislative Congresses in history in the last, 30 years anyways.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually passed a ton of stuff, and especially the House. The House has been a machine.
Yeah.
But even the Senate has pushed through. I mean, if you include, look at the size of the bills and the scope of them, that just with the stimulus package alone, there was so much stuff in that. That, I mean, it's like there have been, you know, times where entire terms of the Senate have not passed anything even close to that amount of, and you know, and that was one bill. So, yeah.
Senator John Cornyn went one step further than the Boehner did with the tricks and Mitch McConnell's sleight of hand.
Ooh.
Passing health care.
I guess what I would call it is Nancy Pelosi is trying to come up with an immaculate conception. Somehow she's going to try to claim that they didn't vote on the Senate health care bill when, in fact, that's necessary under the Constitution before it can be signed into law and then the reconciliation process move forward.
Huh?
It's an immaculate conception, which is even more than of a sleight of hand than a circus trick, whatever.
Watch me pull this rabbit out of my hat.
How do you?
My trick never worked.
How do you, in 1 week, have Glenn Beck telling people to leave their churches if they're too empathetic, essentially, and then use the way Jesus was born as a negative in describing something else? All right.
Yeah. I don't know this whole, what's it called, the slaughter solution for enacting health
care? That's what the Republicans are calling it. It's actually called deeming.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the Dreyer deeming, because David Dreyer used it quite
a bit
when they were in the saying. however, a lot of lawyers were interviewed by Politico. It could raise constitutional issues sufficiently credible that the Supreme Court might get interested, which is, of course, become very scrotesy. It's very scrotesy.
Yeah, it's true.
By the way, let's talk about Clarence Thomas's wife when we get back.
Oh,
seriously?
Yeah.
17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like it? I love it. This is fabulous.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Hey, yay, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The Schwartz will be with us tomorrow. Representative Allison Schwartz of Pennsylvania.
Yes. Will be with you, always.
Exactly.
The Schwartz will be with you always.
We are in the midst of Mondays with
your feelings. Leave them all the droids you're looking for.
Right. Gone over the Star Wars cliff.
Yeah, it's true.
It's no use, Stephanie. If you'd have been there, you'd have been killed too. And the droids would now be in the hands of the Empire.
There's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Right.
A very long time.
We're having a geek explosion.
Totally.
On the West Coast.
It's awesome.
So, I was mentioning...
You're about to rebel alliance with a trick.
Oh, God, stop it!
Would you like to finish the show in your mom's basement while I talk?
Is that
politics?
A euphemism? Mm.
All right. We were talking about the Supreme Court, obviously, in the news a lot, especially with the douchetastic decision on...
Simply not true.
...lobbyist money.
Mm-hmm. Simply
and,
not true.
And I loved John Roberts last week saying, well, where's that come anymore? It's going to be a pep rally. Like, well, the president doesn't have a right to express a view that it's in line with 80% of the American people.
But, you know, I kind of see his point. Why does the Supreme Court need to be there? You know, liberals
it's
and...
It's the State of the Union. It's an important moment for our country. It's
because,
supposed to be,
yeah,
you
but
know...
Yeah, but they're not... I mean, they're not important to hear, you know, the policy directions of the President of the United States.
Yeah, but he wants them to embarrass themselves again by saying something stupid
right.
in response to it.
Well, I think it's also, you know, I mean, it's the three, you know, branches of government, you mm-hmm. know, and so they should be there for the whole, we're all finding out how things are working. So to some degree, let's say they lived in a house on a hill. This is old style politics from a long time ago before we had Twitter mm-hmm. and the SCOTUS is, well, wait until you see the first embarrassing SCOTUS tweet, which will be a good time.
Yeah.
If only Chris LaVoy could get in the DeLorean and go back to a place in time where there was no Twitter.
Right. But, you know, they had to be addressed. Like, okay, remember that law you allowed to, you know, pass or you rescinded last year? This is how it's affecting the country, and this is the spirit of the law and the direction we're going to be going. So get ready. Here comes the laws and that kind of idea.
So,
makes sense for that they're there.
Clarence Thomas's wife has she started basically a teabaggy kind of group,
yeah.
isn't it? Chris,
yeah.
It's Virginia Thomas. She's a conservative activist, founder of a new nonprofit lobbying and political organizing group catering to the citizen activists and mm-hmm. Tea Party movement. She says Liberty Central Inc. Will educate motivated citizens to preserve freedom and reaffirm the core's founding principles and serve as a way for concerned Americans to make a difference in the fight for liberty against the liberal Washington agenda.
Liberty against liberalism.
Yeah.
Interesting concept.
Mm. Crazy. Yeah.
Mm. Doesn't this smell conflict of interest-y?
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently this is relatively unprecedented. So the nobody's quite sure how to deal with it yet.
For fear of being labeled a right-wing tool, just because she's married to a Supreme Court justice doesn't take away her right to speak out.
No,
right.
Not at all, but it does affect his
decisions. We're just questioning
decisions.
Her judgment. Let's start with the fact that she married Clarence Thomas.
Well, absolutely.
I mean,
her judgment
is... as a pickup line, could I take that pubic hair off your Coke can for you?
Right.
I'm just saying.
Her judgment is up in the air because of the view she holds. However... Right. You know, she does have the right to speak those views through her organization.
Sure. Well,
she gets involved.
Yeah, that's the issue. Yeah. That's the thing.
Exactly.
Then deal with him
right.
if he gets involved. Don't take away her right to speak out.
Well, he never says anything anyway, so
I
don't
know.
Yeah. Well, ask Scalia what he thinks.
Whatever he said. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
Here's something else that calls into question her judgment. On her biography on her website says she's a fan of Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin, and Laura Ingraham. Oh, and other talk radio hosts, I'm guessing that don't include
Stephanie Miller.
And that she is intrigued by Glenn Beck and listening carefully, a longtime political activist. She has worked for Dick Armey. So she's in the
wow.
army of the Dick army of teabaggers.
Again, if in the case of Clarence Thomas, if he was more vocal on the court and he had written actually mm-hmm. some opinions,
right.
God forbid, then we would know where he stood and there would be a cleaner delineation and mm-hmm. he could decide, okay, his attitudes are not affected by his wife's or they are in line with his wife. But because he says next to nothing
right.
and kind of rubber stamps what's going on and was a conservative appointment to the court, mm-hmm. it makes it look more and more like he's just kind of put there as a plant. And there's
right.
and that's been the problems with Alito and Roberts.
By the way, who is it? John Paul Stevens has mm-hmm. said he's going to. When's he talking
retire
about
in the next 3 years? He said
right,
so.
But he only chose one clerk, and usually you choose four. So he may announce within the next month what his plans are. And depending on if Obama thinks he can get it through, it's an election year. That's the big issue.
I don't care. I want the most liberal person in the world to be.
Well, Gordon Liu was just put on the Ninth Circuit Court in San Francisco, and he's nearly the best you could come up with in that area. And a huge progressive win that Obama nominated to that court. Yep. So,
And interesting.
I forget who it was. Maybe it was Roberts. One of the younger guys who is on the court now was ran through the Ninth Court in the same way by Bush Senior, with the total plan of eventually getting him on the Supreme Court later. This is the Dems are starting, Obama specifically, are really learning the mechanics of getting some of that stuff done. So I'm for it. He's a good choice. Let's see if he gets
Ralph in Los Angeles on the Supreme Court. Hi, Ralph. Welcome. Hello. Did I not do that correctly?
No, you didn't.
I didn't see it right.
There you go.
Hello. Hi, Ralph.
Hi, Stephanie. You know, I have to take issue with Chris because I think the Supreme Court does need to be there at the State of the Union because not only are they Supreme Court members, but they are also citizens of this country. And I know they think they're in charge, but especially the right-wingers. But they're also citizens, and they need to know what the policy directions of this country are going to be, and they need to listen carefully there.
I agree, and I think Hal's point is well taken, that there are three branches of government, and they're one of them.
Yeah,
so,
they've all got to be there.
The State of the Union, meaning the United States of America's union.
Right.
So that means all of us.
Well, essentially, if you got the president establishing policy and Congress establishing laws and the Supreme Court, judging whether those laws are, in line with the Constitution or not and Congress having to create new laws to make sure that it's a synergistic element. They have to be there. It just makes sense.
Also be fun to see Alito saying, "You lie!"
Yeah, right.
The bobblehead Alito doll.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, we'll be whipping it good to get the final vote count on health care as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What is wrong with
Stephanie Miller?
Everyone has a different theory.
It's a game everyone can play.
Yeah.
34 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, baby.
And to
top of the morning to you.
Soundbite, not a darn thing is wrong with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you.
But did you know that Dennis Kucinich just signed on to the
Yes.
vote? unless one of you learned people can tell me an incident where any major thing that was passed was done like an all-in-one swoop. He made it pretty clear that he wants to do more, but the basic thing that you had to start somewhere was his point, and he wanted to do that.
Wow, and if Dennis Kucinich came around on that, that is pretty huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for all, I respect Michael Moore and others who want everything done now, and they should keep on the pressure. But really, I can't really think anything off the top of my head of any major legislation that was done foreborn, that there was no need to add amendments or...
Yes, you and I could not have consummated our love many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The first time I messed up, and the second time, it was actually even better.
Exactly. All right, Kev. Thank you for calling. By the by, I have some breaking birther news before we go back to healthcare. Is that little teabag rally? You know there was some birthers there. I love this. Hawaii considering law to ignore Obama birthers.
Yes.
Leave us alone, you crazy bastards. Birthers beware. Hawaii may start ignoring your repeated requests for proof that President Obama was born there. As the state continues to receive emails seeking Obama's birth certificate, the State House Judiciary heard a bill permitting government officials to ignore people
won't give up. The Hawaii health director issued statements last year and in October saying he's seen all the vital records that prove Obama is a natural-born American citizen, but the state still gets between 10 and 20 emails seeking verification of Obama's birth every week, most of them from outside of Hawaii. A few of those requesters continue to pepper the health department with the same letters seeking the same information even after they're told state law bars release a certified birth certificate to anyone who doesn't have a tangible interest. Responding waste time and money, according to the state. So they're right. They're considering that. And in other breaking birther news, the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals on Monday affirmed a $20,000 sanction that a federal judge levied against Orly Tate, the California dentist lawyer birther.
What happened to her? I miss her.
We didn't let her finish, apparently. And so...
You will be done.
You let me finish. I have proof that men have never walked on the moon.
I know what you're getting to, Jim. Everybody wants to hear the magical Ross Perot and Orly Tate's
Here's
debate.
The deal.
Can I finish?
I want to finish. You let me finish. You will be done.
I got a chart. Let me finish.
I have chart. He's in Russian.
Can I finish? Okay.
Are you going to finish that? I'm hungry.
I have not eaten. There's no money in any of these activities. I'm a terrible dentist. I have no idea what the law is. I don't know how you make money being an activist.
What is the bicuspid? I have no idea.
Where's the bottomless funds from being a birther that everyone promised me when I met Dick Armey in that alley?
Right. George in South Windsor, Connecticut, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, George.
Hello. You know, maybe Hawaii should actually sell copies of the birth certificate, seeing they're in tax problems, and they're holding back on the state income tax on these folks in Hawaii. But
suitable
that's
for framing.
Because unlike some, I'm not a birther. But what I do find in your show is kind of funny. A couple of years ago, you guys were so giddy, just like you are now. Remember when Scooter Libby, you were waiting for the indictment, and you were all excited, and it didn't happen. And so now you guys have this health care bill, which I don't know why.
You guys? Also,
well, meaning the folks on the left, including yourselves, because I'm assuming.
So this would affect you? Like if this bill went through, you wouldn't get, like your children wouldn't be protected from being denied coverage?
No, because it's a leftist plot.
No, I already have coverage through my health care provider.
Right, but if your kid got sick and he reached his lifetime limit before the age of 17, let's say, God forbid, this bill wouldn't affect your child because you're on the right?
No, because in the state of Connecticut, Husky kids, any kid in the state of Connecticut gets covered no matter what. You
That's
go to
fat kids, skinny kids who climb
kids
on rocks.
Kids who climb on rocks? Even kids with chicken pox?
No, not with chicken pox. It's a pre-existing condition.
It's going to cost you guys more money. It's going to cost you more, Stephanie, everyone on your staff, more money in your in increased costs. And the coverage
How do you measure the cost in dead people? I mean, literally, how do you measure the cost and the amount of people who die every year because they don't have coverage and the number of people who get kicked off after they've been paying their premiums?
Right.
And by the way, there'd be a lot more taxpayers that would be alive. 45,000 more taxpayers would be alive if they had insurance last year.
I'll answer the question for you. Because for the next 4 years, I guess they're going to continue dying because there won't be any health care coverage for at least 2014. So we're going to still kill
people the denial part of the law goes into effect immediately.
Really?
Immediately.
Yes.
Because I have not heard.
As do the tax benefits.
That's because you only listen to right wing
talk.
Yeah, exactly. And because you think empathy is a disease.
He's right. We were fairly giddy about Scooter Libby, and well, we even had a jingle.
Scooter Libby's going to jail. He will take it in the tail.
Oh my God!
Tail. No, Scooter Libby had some power. Better hold on to the soap in the shower.
That's wrong.
Here's the good news, though, Jim or Chris: healthcare will pass because we don't have a jingle for that.
That's true.
We didn't get ahead of ourselves and make a jingle about healthcare passing.
Yeah, we'll release it next week.
Yes,
exactly.
Afterwards. I'll be doing the I Told You So tour. I love that, you know.
How can we go on vacation every time something big happens every time we go on vacation?
Hey, you help make it happen.
I've been pushing this health care rock up a hill for a year, and now it passes when I go on vacation.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. Your work is done here. You can move along. Just ride off into the sunset and take a break. And then when there's trouble again, here she comes over the hill.
I will call in occasionally next week just to say.
I have to say, though, that last guy fired me up a little bit.
Yeah,
I
you
find
people
nothing,
on the left.
Yeah.
When your health care thing happens for you people on the left,
yeah,
it's gonna cost you more money.
And then I love the fact that he's like bragging about that he has it in his state, but that no one else deserves it.
Yeah, screw them.
That's stunning absurdity. Yeah, mm-hmm. I love how there's only costs are only accrued in this life in cash. The cost of human lives, the cost of of even just flat out bankruptcy, just ruined lives and the inability to work and take care of yourself.
Just 'cause they're lazy.
That doesn't count. The only thing that counts is that your tax dollars will go up $80. literally.
I'm not going to pay for sick people. I want to pay for pointless wars.
Yeah,
forever.
Exactly.
I think we need that Screamy Mark Wahlberg song for Senator Harry Reid. He repeatedly yesterday said, stand up and vote. He issued a warning to Republicans in response to the Republicans slamming Democrats for ignoring the wishes of their constituents by passing health care.
That start me up. Never mind.
No.
Okay. Stand in the place where you were.
Oh.
To health care by implying they stop talking and vote their minds. This is the fictional band, right?
From Rockstar.
Oh, yeah.
Stephanie Miller.
Right. Oh, man. Written by Desmond Child.
Really?
Yeah. But that's Zach Wilde on guitar, so that makes it okay. And Jeff Scott Soto, I think, is singing.
He said, as I told Republican leaders last week, if you want to vote against health care and health insurance reform, that's your privilege to do so, but don't shut down the Senate. Stand up and vote. Don't threaten to stand in the way next time just because you didn't get your way last time. And when you make political calculations, don't forget the American people. You're making sure people can afford to live a healthy life, or you're not. You're for reining in Wall Street abuse, or you're not. You're for strengthening our economy and our borders, or you're not. There's no in between. Stand up!
Harry Reid on lead guitar.
That's
yeah. Also, stand in the place where you live.
Yeah,
that's it.
And in
that's what I said.
Yeah, no, I would.
Representative
prefer
this. Louise Slaughter having to explain why they can't break the rules because you see, they're the Rules Committee.
There is no way in the world we would be doing an unconstitutional thing. We are the Rules Committee.
Yes.
We're in charge of the what's that again? Oh, I know.
The rules. We actually study them, read them, and apply them. Yeah.
Representative James Clyburn, he's the whip,
Yes,
he's
indeed.
The real whip.
We aren't in the sleight of hand here. All we're saying is we will deem that those 60 votes of the Senate Godfrey's bill are passed, and we're going to go on and pass these directions.
Exactly.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Representative Jan Schakowsky, who we had on the show earlier, and we played the soundbite of Representative Jan Schakowsky to see what Representative Jan Schakowsky thought.
Newsflash. People in the real world don't care about self-executing rules or reconciliation and don't even know what it is. What they do care about process is the process of the insurance companies, the process of refusing a child who has asthma, the process of raising prices 39%, 50%, 60% for your insurance policy.
And what did Jan Schakowsky think about one?
Jan Schakowsky thought Jan Schakowsky is brilliant, as do we.
She was in total agreement with herself.
Representative Pete Sessions, Republican of Texas.
The American people are aware that the process that is going on is just as bad as the legislation that is being done.
Yes. Oh, it was all the talk on the subway this morning. That's all anybody could talk about.
I just heard
a low hum about demon power.
By the way, just as bad. Unqualified means that it's just as good as well. It's equally as bad. Well, since one isn't bad, neither is the other.
Stupid Stupak yesterday, he said that he doubts if Nancy Pelosi even has 200 votes. He said, we're still not planning on voting for health care unless we can address some concerns, meaning my concerns, my language.
Me.
It's still too abortion-y.
Oh, boy. I think that Dennis Kucinich's the sea change is the tipping point that happened just today, and we are onward and upward to health care. 45 minutes after the hour, and it also marks the first time Chris LeBoy has ever been right about, anything.
Hey!
Wow.
Hey, you're mean.
After the hour.
Ooh,
y'all
snap.
Mean. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
sex, no drugs, no wine, no women, no fun, no sin, no...
Stephanie Miller.
No wonder it's dark. There's more into the Japanese and the country. Japanese are better things, so...
Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free.
I'm turning Lebanese. That don't happen.
Let me finish.
Let me finish. We are finishing up Hump Days with Hal, and I know how Sparks is here because he loves me, but apparently he's just using me to promote something. Go ahead.
I'm at the Improv in Fort Lauderdale this weekend doing stand-up, so thank you.
What does that have to do with me?
Well, I actually had to cancel the Sunday night show.
Oh, good.
So that I could fly to New York in time to fill in for you while you're on vacation next week, so you could leave for your vacation on time and go spa or whatever. So
me,
it does.
Me.
See?
My needs.
So it's me taking care of your needs again.
Don't forget to pick up the poop on the patio and hose it down, okay?
I got one of those big industrial backhoes coming over the hand shovel. It's a good time.
I am going to leave him a little honey-do list.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you the places in Central Park where you can illegally take them off the leash, even though it's not before 9 or after 9.
I've seen them. I know where you take the dogs. There's like all the trees are gnawed on and all the grass is all dead and no one sits there.
Yeah, watch for the rabid raccoons, though.
Right.
Yes, and the rabid feral cats. But other than that, it should be fine.
Great, because that's what I need is two giant Cujos in the apartment with me. Two giant rabid Great Pyrenees.
Yeah, they're trapping you in the apartment like D. Wallace Stone
exactly.
was trapped in the
car. Right, yeah.
Where's my dog sound effect? I get a little giggle out of every time the doorbell rings next week. Hal Sparks in the apartment.
No! I got treats in my pocket! Okay!
Throw it in the pizza man!
Note to self, wear Steph's clothes whenever you leave the house. No. Okay. God. All right. I'm in the bedroom.
Every time Hal comes home next week, just his hand with a biscuit will come in the door.
Yeah.
It's Daddy. Daddy's home.
Just a biscuit. Don't bite my hand. Just a biscuit. Oh, God.
Your hands are biscuit flavored.
I'm going to stay in the basement. Hello, Steph? Steph, it's Hal. I'm in the basement. I don't know if I can go upstairs.
I can't hear you, Hal. Put Max and Fred on. By the way, I am the kind of person that will call to talk to my dogs. I will make you put the phone next to their ears while I'm gone next week.
Oh, boy.
He's mommy, Max and Fred. Max and Fred. Mom!
Aren't they precious? Help me!
Hal did tweet a picture of Max's head next to him
in
my apartment the last time. And,
twice the size of Hal's head.
Yeah. It's like snuggling with a grizzly bear.
And he had to tweet people, I did not Photoshop this.
Yeah, I did.
This big.
Nobody bought it. Everybody was like, that's just a perspective trick. I'm like, what am I, Fellini? This is a giant animal.
It's like that picture of that mastiff. Then walking next to the horse, everyone goes, oh, this is the biggest. And everyone says, that's not real. It's Photoshop.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm going to give you one of those whippets with the weird gene problem that has muscles really big. Like,
yes.
That has the giant hulking, Hulk-like whippet. It's going to be good. Yeah.
Okay. I've been mentioning this about Republican asshattery, obstructionist asshattery all morning. But every once in a while, one of them gets tricked into admitting that they're just...
What?
Yes. Lamar Alexander admits that the Senate Republicans will obstruct fixes to the health care bill simply for partisan gain.
Oh.
These are the things they've been bitching about, and now they're not going to... Yes. If the Senate bill is passed and the Democrats are just getting rid of the Nebraska deal and easing the bite of the excise tax, Republicans will have trouble standing in the way and becoming defenders of the Nebraska deal and the excise tax. At that point, they're not opposing health care reform and instead imposing small popular changes that will make the bill better. Having spent the last few months hammering the Nelson deal, it doesn't look very bipartisan to keep Democrats from taking your advice and reneging on it. So this is how bad it's gotten. I mean, this is how, you know, at this point, it's so transparent. I think he was on Bill Bennett's snoozy little radio show.
Right.
And he kind of admitted that they're going to obstruct the things that they've been screaming about for months. No, we like the Cornhusker kickback now.
Right.
All right. Labor and progressive leaders, meanwhile, are threatening House Democrats who oppose health care legislation and with potentially destructive third-party challenges in November. The discussion's already taken concrete form here in New York State, where a handful of voters hang in the balance. The first target seems to be Representative Michael McMahon, a New York City Democrat, who has indicated he opposes the bill. Well, I could go pay him a little visit, couldn't I?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of voters in Staten Island and Brooklyn who will realize that McMahon just chose to be on the side of the insurance companies and start seeing their wages go to pay for their health care, said the head of the Service Employees International Union. He said, I'm not the only labor leader looking at the question of what is the price of betrayal, suggesting that Pennsylvania and Illinois could also see liberal third-party challenges. Yeah, I mean, this is really the week. Whatever side you're on, like Harry Reid says, where you're going to stand up and you're going to show the American people whose side you're on. Are you on the side of the insurance companies or the American people? All right, I could, you know, Jim, I could go have a little talk with the guy from New York. It would be a shame if something happened to your house seat.
It would be a real problem there if one of your bills was to burn down. You know, things
guess
happen, Governor.
Guess who else is screaming about the health care bill? The Florida, the former bachelor governor of Florida, Governor Charlie Crist, trailing against Marco
Rubio.
Mm-hmm. He ripped the Democrats' health care bill, telling a clutch of reporters, we ought to do better. As Americans, we shouldn't just say you only have one plan and that's the only option you have. No, that would have been single payer. That's
yes,
not actually what this is, but thanks for paying attention. Crist also continued blasting away at Rubio's alleged misspending of state Republican Party money on, I believe he said, what, back waxing or something? It apparently is not as manly as the grooming that he does. Because he goes to, you know, Carl the Barber in St. Petersburg.
St. Petersburg. Mm-hmm. Gonna take a little off the top with my sling blade. Oops.
All right. Jim, you've been talking about the financial reform for a while. You've been reading the Matt Taibbi pieces in Rolling. Listen, I don't know what you think, but I'm liking the Chris Dodd bill so far. I think it's stronger than people expected. The Volcker rule is in it. Everybody said, oh, that's never going to happen. It's dead on arrival. Mm-hmm. His decision to include the provision in his surprisingly tough reform bill meant two things. The Treasury had more sway than anyone expected on the Dodd proposal, and much of the financial pundocracy was dead wrong about the Volcker rule. It requires regulators to prohibit so-called proprietary trading by deposit-taking banks. His proposal will also prevent banks from investing in or owning hedge funds and private equity funds. So, the bill's much tougher on Wall Street, Street than was expected.
That's good.
Yeah, he said there hasn't been financial reform on the scale I'm proposing this afternoon since the 1930s. And so, you know, I'm telling you, we're going to have the same thing again. Republicans are going to try to weaken it, and we better not waste time negotiating with them.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's part of this bill or whatever. There's a great interview with Timothy Geithner that Rachel Maddow did last night, if you get a chance to watch
it. Absolutely, watch it. All right, that's it for us. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.